Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today, broadcasting live from our studios in New York City. This is our Talk Back segment. Once a week, we open the calls for you to share your thoughts, your questions, your comments, and opinions. I'll be talking a lot about nutrition, with leading off with new reasons to eat your oatmeal. Also, elevated levels of vitamin C are very good for a specific reason. There's a dramatic increase in kidney disease in the United States. Why? Oregano oil can help people recover from a major condition, and a lot more. Plus, our classroom on the air today, we're going to do two. We're going to do the omega-7 fatty acids in protecting you against diabetes and metabolic syndrome. I'm sure you're familiar with omega-7. No? Omega-3? Yes. A 6? Yes. 9? Yes. Well, this may be the first program you've heard omega-7 fatty acids. Very important new information from Harvard Medical School. Information presented by Carol Stockton. Then we want to take a look at how one nutrient can make a difference in the aging process. That's SAMe. So I'll share that with you from Life Extension. Then, time permitting, I'm going to take a look at getting ready for a lot of advertisement coming directly to you about radiation devices and why they're good for you. No, they're not good for you. But you wouldn't know that from what's going to be coming your way. Martha Rosenberg has some specific ideas on that. We'll share them. Also today, we're going to look at professors in homeless shelters. It's time to talk seriously about adjuncts, and we will, from salon.com, from Becky Toik. Also, in the nation's boomtown, homeless people are more visible and invisible than ever. Evelyn Neves from Alternet. Now, I'm filming this at this sanctuary, the St. Boniface Church, and you've never seen anything like it. Wait till we get to that. It's out in San Francisco. So we have a lot to share, and of course, throughout the program, we'll be taking your calls. Our number to take those calls on is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888, and you can watch today's program by going to ustream.tv and search for Gary Null. That's the letter ustram.tv. I was growing up in a small town, and you either had a sugar-coated cereal or bacon and eggs for breakfast. But I preferred to have oatmeal, and my mother would make an oatmeal, a steel-cut oatmeal, not the instant oatmeal. It was much more chewy, and she would add fresh milk that was not homogenized, came from a local organic farmer, and some raisins, banana. If there was berries in season, we'd have that. Some walnuts, which we always had, and some cinnamon. And that was how I started my day. Now, I didn't know the health consequences of any of this, but she did, because the person that raised her was very health conscious. Today, it was shown they did the right thing. According to new research in the Psychochemical Properties and Biological Functions article in a major journal, they show that oats are good for your heart. The soluble fiber in oats helps lower the bad LDL cholesterol, but it also has other benefits as well. And there's a particular type of phenolic compound called AVE. It's only found in oats, and it possesses antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, anti-itch, and anti-cancer properties. And the cumulative effects of oats, it's important in protecting your heart. So the takeaway message is simple. Eating whole grains is consistently associated with a reduced risk of chronic disease, including cardiovascular disease. And it's not just the fiber, but it's the phytochemical content of the oats. Now, also, the soluble fiber beta-glucan, GLUCAN, found in oats, has been recognized for its ability to lower both total and low-density lipoprotein cholesterol. So that's good. So one more reason to eat your oats, and we just shared it with you. Next up, it's a new study shows that the antioxidants present in virgin coconut oil will turn off inflammation associated with arthritis. Now, this was from Health Impact News, Brian Shulf-Heavy, and it shows that extra virgin organic coconut oil, which means the first press oil, when it was given to rats, it reduced their arthritis and inflammation more significantly and effectively than pharmaceutical drugs. That's a big plus. In fact, arthritis encompasses over 120 diseases and conditions that affect joints and surrounding tissues and connective tissues. And rheumatoid arthritis is characterized by chronic inflammation of the synovial joints and subsequent progression to really a cartilage being destroyed. So it's bad. So by taking virgin coconut oil, I would say twice a day, you can turn off the inflammation in the arthritis joints, and that's important. So an inexpensive, natural, non-toxic way of helping yourself with arthritis pain. Now, we've seen an enormous increase in kidney disease in the past decade. Kidney disease was very rare when most of us were growing up. Why is it so high today? Well, some believe that it's because of all of the fructose in the diet, in diet sodas, or in sodas, period, plus in all the confections. That plays havoc with your kidney. I believe it also has to do with high-protein diet. We're taking in way too much protein. Even vegetarians are guilty of taking in too much protein. You don't need a lot of protein in a given meal. 15 to 20 grams is more than adequate. And you do that 2-3 times a day, you've got your protein requirements taken care of. But when you start taking the amount of protein in a normal meal, let's say you eat at a restaurant, and you're going to get a 12-ounce steak, half of that's protein, the other has fat. Well, if you have 6 ounces, and there's 28 grams to an ounce, you're having 28 times 6. Well, already you've got 2 days worth of protein in one item from one meal. The body cannot store protein. You lose it if you can't use it immediately. Hence, what we're doing is we're overwhelming the body's detoxification organs, the liver and the kidneys. You also create urea and excess nitrogen and ammonia. All bad. Kidneys have to filter that. Now we can add, according to the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health, we can add one more bad thing that can cause kidney disease. Glyphosate, the weed killer. This is from Sayre G. GreenMedInfo. Quote, last month we reported on a mysterious global epidemic of fatal kidney disease, focusing on a study published in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health that laid down evidence showing that the herbicide Roundup, glyphosate, is responsible for an epidemic of kidney-related deaths in a rural farming region of northern Sri Lanka, as well as other rural regions around the world, including Costa Rica and Nicaragua. This information, while shocking to many who still consider glyphosate, herbicide, and the GM food produced with it to be relatively non-toxic, is not surprising to those who have been tracking the published literature on glyphosate. It has a wide range of harmful effects, which now shows a link between glyphosate and several dozen health conditions. Only days ago, the Center for Public Integrity released a report titled Sri Lanka Bans Monsanto Herbicide Citing Potential Link to Deadly Kidney Disease, citing Sri Lanka's president giving us a decision to impose an outright ban on glyphosate. This decision follows a decision by the legislature in El Salvador last September to approve a ban on glyphosate, but the proposal has not yet been signed into law. Now the world seems to be paying close attention to the fact that the primary agricultural chemicals used in genetically engineered crops has deleterious, if not deadly, consequences to exposed populations, including harm to your kidney. So it's only logical to ask the question, if the United States, which has the highest among the glyphosate usages in the world, is also experiencing kidney harm as a result of widespread daily exposure. A series of graphs based on data from the USDA and the National Cancer Institute and the Center for Disease Control have recently surfaced depicting a steep rise in the rates of kidney disease in the U.S. from the time of the introduction of glyphosate and GM food, and reveals that the U.S. may also be suffering from an epidemic of glyphosate-associated kidney disease. So, that's the latest. Now, what does this mean for the average person? The average American will be spraying Roundup on their weeds and their lawns and their sidewalks. Why? Because it's the most commonly advertised pesticide in America. And people won't associate these harmful effects. According to the latest research from Canada's McGill University, vitamin C elevates moods and reduces stress and anxiety. That's good. The researchers looked at a group of patients who were divided into two groups, and they got 500 milligrams of vitamin C or 5,000 units of vitamin D each day for 10 days. Using the Profile of Mood States B test and the Distress Thermometer test, the researchers found that, on average, the vitamin C group reduced mood disturbances by 71% and reduced psychological distress by 51%. Meanwhile, vitamin D supplement had no significant mood effects. In their conclusion, the researchers noted that hospital patients often have lower levels of vitamin C, so the researchers hypothesized that vitamin C's effects may be limited to those who are deficient in vitamin C intake. But it also is shown to help reduce anxiety among diabetics. This was a separate study. They took 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day and 400 units of vitamin E. Then another group got a placebo, and they found out again at 6 weeks that those taking vitamin C experienced significant reductions in anxiety levels. The two other groups taking a placebo or vitamin E experienced no difference. Now why? Why would that be? Well, one reason from my own research is that vitamin C improves microvascular function. Micro means very tiny. Vascular is the vessels that carry blood into the brain, for example. And this was research at the University of Wisconsin, and they found that vitamin C infusions increase blood vessel smooth muscle communication among small capillaries and blood vessels. So that's one way that it can help. So vitamin C is good for you, and we need a lot more than what we're getting. There's one all-round great oil that we should always have in our home, and that's oregano oil, because it is so universally important in killing viruses and bacteria. Mix it 20 drops in a glass of warm green tea with some manuka honey, and you can kill all kinds of bacteria and viruses in your throat and your stomach, including the Helicobacter E. pylori. The new study from an article in the Journal of Applied Microbiology shows that oregano oil could also be fighting the norovirus. Now, that's a contagious illness which causes gastroenteritis, and they found that the oil of oregano could break down the tough protein protecting the virus cells and allow another micro agent to kill these cells directly. This was something in the news. Remember about 3 weeks ago, the Royal Caribbean cruise, the people on the ship fell ill with nausea and diarrhea and fever and cramping, and the norovirus had taken hold of the ship and left many vacationers sequestered in their rooms, unable to eat or even be alone because they were dizzy. Quote, this study provides novel findings on the antiviral properties of oregano oil and against the MNNV, which stands for the particular virus here that's very important. So, here's the takeaway message. I believe that what we should be doing whenever we travel is take 3 ounces, because that way you can get it on an airplane without any question. Take 3 or 4 bottles of 3 ounces each of wild oregano oil. Also take 1 whole bottle or 2 of charcoal capsules, because charcoal can absorb hundreds and hundreds of times its weight in toxins in the intestines. So if you come down with something from the water or the food that you've consumed, when you're taking that, it makes all the difference in the world. Some charcoal capsules and some wild oregano oil, and you've done a lot of good for yourself. You should also get a little container and squeeze Manuka honey into them, and that way if you get a scratch, burn, cut, infection, take the Manuka honey. It's also good. I just counseled someone before I came on the air here who works for a major financial house. The person works nonstop. And when I was asking about the person's lifestyle, what could be contributing to this person's illness, they said that it's not me, it's everyone in the industry, meaning the financial industry. Their life is lived out of balance. They come to work early. They work hard. These are real work dogs, she said. And then they leave it late at night. She even made this comment. She said, there are times when people don't have to work late, but don't know how to go home because they don't know how to relate to their partner except in brief starts and stops, because they're so used to being away from them. And they didn't know if they could handle getting out of work at 5 and spending an evening with their spouse. Now imagine that. I would think that people would want to be with the people that they cherish and love and enjoy being around. That's one of the gifts of friendship in a relationship, being able to enjoy the person's presence. Well, in this case, the person was going all the time and had adrenal exhaustion. I suggested a nap every day. Doesn't have to be a long nap. It can be 15 minutes. The person said, why? Because now we know that napping once a day in the middle of the day re-energizes us. In effect, it gives the brain like a massage. It's very good for you. Now, this is the latest study. Here's what it says. Napping can dramatically increase learning, memory, awareness, and more. In some places, towns essentially shut down in the afternoon while everyone goes home for a siesta. Unfortunately, in the United States, more bound to our corporate lifestyle than to our health, a midday nap is seen as a luxury and in some cases a sign of pure laziness. But before you feel guilty about that weekend snooze or falling asleep during a movie, rest assured that napping is actually good for you and a completely natural phenomena in the circadian sleep-wake cycle rhythm. As our day wears on, even when we get enough sleep at night, our focus and alertness degrade. And while this can be a minor inconvenience in modern times, it may have meant life or death for our ancestors. Whether you were finishing up a project for work or hunting for your livelihood, a nap can rekindle your alertness and have your neurons back up and firing on as little as 15 to 20 minutes. So, even some large companies like Google and Apple are just a few that allow employees to have a nap time. Studies have affirmed that short naps can improve awareness and productivity. So, that's important. A study from the University of Colorado Boulder found that children who missed their afternoon nap showed less joy and interest, more anxiety, and poor problem-solving skills than other children. The same can be said of adults that benefit from napping. And to compound this, some researchers from Berkeley University, University of California at Berkeley, found an hour nap to dramatically increase learning ability and memory. So you're going to reboot your brain with a nap. Generally, I find 10 to 20 minutes of a power nap is best for refreshing. 30-minute nap, well, I wouldn't go over that because it can lead to some grogginess. and then have a nice juice when you wake up from that nap. And even if you don't go to sleep, but you're in a slumber that's still healthy and healing. From the Journal of Clinical Investigations, University of Edinburgh in the United Kingdom, they found that the flavanol, quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N, quercetin, can help reduce the risk of the childhood form of motor neuron disease by preventing damage to nerves. And that helps prevent spinal muscular atrophy. So that's good. I would suggest 1,000 to 1,500 milligrams of quercetin a day. And now, wheat as an endocrine disruptor. Now, this is interesting because most people are now aware that gluten in wheat can be a problem. I've had virtually everyone I've counseled for decades on a wheat-free diet, and they find that gas and bloating diminish, inflammation in their intestines, diarrhea diminish, brain fog, headaches diminish, muscle weakness and excessive menstrual pain diminish. This is the latest from Sayer G. Green Med Info. Now, this is a provocative new study published in the peer-reviewed journal Hormone Research and confirms for the first time in a human trial that one of the adverse effects of wheat consumption includes a disruption of the levels of a hormone produced by the pituitary gland known as prolactin, pro, lactin, L-A-C-T-I-N. Here's how it works. Wheat can act like an endocrine disruptor, just like pesticides. And that we know something about. And there's over 200 different health conditions that have already been linked to the adverse effects of wheat to human bodies. So in the new study, entitled Prolactin May Be Increased in Newly Diagnosed Celiac Children and Adolescents and Decreases After 6 Months of Gluten-Free Diet, that's the title of the study. This is they put people on a gluten-free diet and found out there was a major improvement. So if you have Crohn's disease, if you have itises, ileitis, colitis, diverticulitis, give up the wheat completely. And finally, good news, vitamins daily can reduce the risk of cataracts in men. This was from Brigham and Women's Hospital and Harvard Medical School. It was a long-term study. It was published in the peer-reviewed journal Ophthalmology, and it showed that when people were given a common multiple vitamin along with vitamin C and E and beta-carotene, while the other half of the group just received a sugar pill, the vitamins were given to participants at doses in line with U.S. dietary allowance, which is low, but even so, it still was statistically significant and could help prevent cataracts. So make sure you're getting your vitamins every day and not at the low doses that the government recommends, but at higher doses. I'm Gary Noll, and we're here to talk about the issues that can improve our health. I'm broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City, and this is one of those times when having our phone number allows you to dial right in, because sometimes we can have, let's say, a problem in studio or on one of the lines, and so you try and you can't get on the computer, just go to the telephone. So please write down our number so you have it. There's two numbers I'm going to give you because we have so many people who are listening over the telephone. I was just surprised. Last month they told me it was over 100,000 last month. So with 10 million minutes listened to, number one in North America and South America and Canada of 2,500 radio stations, we're the number one in this part of the world. Here's the number. Please write it down. Because we're syndicated. We're syndicated all over the world. And so one day you may turn on your station. For whatever reason, the station may not be playing us anymore. Never can tell. So this way you have a heads up and think, okay, I can still listen to Gary. I can go to ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, PRN.com, which as of, what was it, an hour ago, had 24 million hits, specifically to us. Or you can go to a phone number, The phone number is 712-432-7231. That's 712-432-7231 or 401-347-0456. That's 401-347-0456. Now, I realize that, and we receive no money, nothing at all from this company, but sometimes there are ads on there. Apologize for that, but there's nothing I can do. But at least, you know, you can get the program, and that's what counts. I'm going to be taking calls for the remainder of the show, and we're going to start off with Bill from Long Island. Hi, Bill. Your turn. Speak up, Bill. You're on the line.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Thanks for taking my call. My question has to do, by the way, I'm a long-time listener, and I really appreciate all the information. My question has to do with vitamin testing. It seems that any doctors associated with any of these insurance plans are not interested at all in doing any of this testing. So it's really left up to the individual to pursue testing on their own. So how does an individual, like say you want to test yourself twice a year to monitor all your levels, say you're a man and you want a, you know, a male profile and you want your vitamins and your minerals and you want to make sure you're within range. How do you go about either contracting with a company or are there companies in New York or around the country that...
It's easier than that. Just go to Life Extension Foundation. Google Life Extension Foundation. And they have a lab that is inexpensive, cheapest I can find, and then you just send in the blood work and they do it all for you. All right? Life Extension has all the blood workups for men, for women, for heart, for hormones, for anti-aging, everything. All right?
Okay, thank you.
All the best, Bill. Dan from New York City. Hi, Dan. You're on the air, Dan.
Oh, Gary?
Yes.
All right. My question is about lipospheric vitamin C versus intravenous vitamin C, and what your if you have any experience with it as far as getting blood saturation levels equal to that using a lipospheric vitamin C.
The lysosomal. I would go with the intravenous for higher doses. For lower doses, you're certainly good to go with the lysosomal. All right.
Yep.
Okay, all
Thank
the
you.
Best. Thank you for calling.
All right, bye.
And let's say hello to John from California. Hi, John. Where are you at in California?
Yes, I was wondering what would be a couple of things that I could do to thin my blood naturally without using Coumadin. I've heard you mention vitamin C, which I use about 1,000 to 2,000 a day. And you said that would thin the blood. Then also I've been using garlic, and your phrase of an onion a day keeps the stroke away. I try and eat onions and potatoes. Would those think that would do as good as Coumadin?
I can't tell you what I can answer your question, but I cannot say why. I cannot advise you to use Coumadin or not. Here's what I would say. Here are the things that really thin the blood. Vitamin E.
How many units?
Anywhere from 400 to 800 units.
Okay.
From natural mixed tocopherols. Tocotrienols, 200 to 400 units. Coenzyme Q10, ubiquinone, anywhere from 100 to 1,000 milligrams. Green tea. Vitamin C throughout the day. Generally, I would go up, if it were me, I would be using 5 to 10,000 milligrams a day with the highest amount before I went to bed at night. Green juices and green vegetables. The juices, if you had a green juice maybe three times a day, either fresh or with compounded powders, that's really good. Now, just imagine all those together. And all those are great. Also, you could look at L-lysine, that's good. SAMe, that's good. And N-acetylcysteine, all of those also are good and impact the blood. And so therefore, your blood is naturally thinned out, allowing the blood cells not to aggregate, not to clump, And then as long as you don't have the arachidonic acid from the saturated fat, you're also helping yourself. All right? Have you ever heard of PAL? Metallic?
PAL?
It, just write this down. PAL, P-A-L.
Okay.
Mito, M-I-T-O. Lyic, L-E-I-C. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Well, it's an acid. It's also better known as omega-7.
Huh.
Now, this newly discovered, I'll bet no one in the audience has heard of this, it's a fat molecule. And in fact, it's so important that Harvard Medical School actually patented. So what makes it so special? Because it can help address the underlying factors involved in metabolic syndrome. And that would be better than all the drugs that people use for metabolic syndrome. But it doesn't have any dangerous side effects. It's safe, and it's inexpensive, and it can help reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes and prevent the buildup of atherosclerotic plaque. It can increase your good cholesterol. It's also an anti-inflammatory and can reduce your C-reactive protein, which is associated with an increased risk of heart attack and stroke. And it's not expensive. So now you have something that you didn't have before you called. All right?
Sounds good.
Something new to add in there to your arsenal to help your heart and your blood vessels. All the best to you. Thanks for calling, John. Where in California are you, by the way?
I'm in Orange County, which is about, 30 miles down from Los Angeles.
Well, I'll be out there in August, and I'll let everyone know when I'm coming. I'm going to be premiering two new feature documentaries at that time. I've been out for about a year, and if you want to come, you'll know it then. Thanks a lot.
I saw you once with Roy of Hollywood when you were up in Los Angeles, and I believe you landed in Frisco and came down in a rented Chevrolet Impala.
Well, boy, you're attentive. Yes.
Three or four years ago, and I kind of made a fool of myself. I saw you come to the studio, and I went, oh, my God, it's Gary Knoll. I was just overcome, and Roy of Hollywood was there. And I've got pictures of you and I together, and then you and I, and then Roy of Hollywood, he had a beard.
Yeah, Roy looks like a bear man, doesn't he?
Yeah, that was something that was about, I think it might have been 6 years. No, you know what? I think it was more like 6 years ago.
I've been out with Roy to come to the premieres. Roy, by the way, for the audience who's not aware of this, for 31 years, Roy and I shared a show. I did the talking, and it was just his program on KPFK in Los Angeles. I quit the show about 9 months ago because of the politics of the station, at a Pacifica station, that I no longer wish to raise money, which I raise in frequently half the total station money, because I just considered such a dysfunctional group of people and so much hate that I no longer want to be a part of it on any level. People generally don't, in broadcasting, you don't walk away from the media. I walk away. I also walk away from PFW after 31 years, not because of the audience. The audience is great at both stations, by the way. But now we have Progressive Radio Network. There's no politics. There's no anger. There's no dysfunctional local station boards. There's no, you know, there's just good broadcasting, good people, good energy. And today the world has gone way past Pacifica. It's still out there brawling like rebel without a cause in the streets. And the world, unfortunately, has said, well, we remember you when. Thank you. Thanks a lot for being with us, John.
I was just going to say one thing, dear. Unfortunately, the telephone service to call in on the numbers doesn't seem to be working today, but I'm sure it'll be working tomorrow.
Excellent. All the best to you. What happens sometimes, we get so many people calling in, and we've told the phone company this, they keep expanding the width, but we literally get so many people, it overwhelms and crashes their system. I keep telling them, keep enlarging it. They're just not quite as quick as what we need. We'll let them know tomorrow. Let's say hello to Chris from Connecticut. Hi, Chris, your turn.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
I have a friend who is alcoholic, and she relapsed after 7 years. She cuts herself, and she's got eating disorder, too. And she did, you know, recently goes to the AA meetings, And so call me like desperate at night and a couple other friends, and we're just not sure like what to do to help her. She did like a 7-day rehab and AA meetings, but I mean, they're not helping her, so we're sort of looking for some advice as what to do.
Where does she live?
She lives in Brooklyn, and she's a high-stress trial lawyer in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. Well, do this. Come in with her and come into my office. I'll be happy to sit and counsel her.
Okay, great.
All right.
Just call
tomorrow. Call 646-926-5422. Ask to speak with Bianca. She does my scheduling, and she'll schedule. And I don't charge anyone, ever, not my whole career, 70,000 people. I've counseled for free, and I'll do the same for her. And I approach it differently. I used to handle the Trafalgar Hospital's addiction program. I was at both the Institute of Applied Biology across the street, which was affiliated with Trafalgar Hospital, and I work with thousands of people. Mine is a completely different approach. As you'll see, I won't go into it over the air because our phones are just packed right now, but if we can help her, I will.
Thank you.
All the best.
Bye.
Let's say hello to Luann Panessi. Luann Panessi, for those of you who are not aware, Luann gets so many calls and emails because I've been on the road for 4 months. I've only been back 2 weeks. And then she processes them, and then she selects those that might be of a personal nature because some people find those of interest, some that aren't health issues, whatever they are. And then she raises those issues, and I address them. She has a background. She was a nurse administrator for 18 years at Long Island Jewish Hospital, where she had about 100 other nurses working under her. And she also has been an oncological or cancer nurse for 36 years, and she had a lot of illnesses, and she used holistic modalities, and today she has none of those diseases, hepatitis and ovarian cyst and fibrocystic breast, all those things gone. And like a lot of holistic nurses or nurse practitioners, which is growing, I'm very pleased about that, they are looking at a more holistic model of healing. They're much more patient when they sit with an individual. They take their time. And my goal is to inspire more nurses, regular nurses, like Luann once was, to become holistic nurses. There is a holistic nurse association. And I don't know how many members they have now, but the last time I checked, it was about 1,500. I'm sure it's much larger than that now. So that's a little bit about her background. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. Yeah, and by the way, if people want to email me, I'm at WHNN, like William, Harry, Nancy, WHNN at AOL.com. And yes, I do get a lot of calls and emails. I have something here that's a little bit of a personal nature. Someone said that they had they found a back issue of a real estate magazine in Florida. And they're asking, is it true that you're selling your place in Naples, Florida? According to this book, it is the most beautiful private estate in America. And my question is, why in the heck would you sell it?
Well, first off, whoever gave you that information was inaccurate. I have not sold, and I'm not going to be selling my home. There's no need to. It's paid for. I don't have a mortgage, and I love it. And it's one of the most beautiful places that I know of in America. In fact, it's been written up in many magazines as like an oasis. But the other side of that story is when I first bought the property almost 20 years ago, and my brother Howard picked it out, and because he also wanted to move out of West Virginia to there, and I'd sold the ranch in Texas. And so once you get used to living in Texas, the weather can be so beautiful that the weather in West Virginia, where we grew up, was just terrible. It was like in a valley, in the Kanawha Valley, where you have all the major pharmaceutical companies and the stench holds in the air, and that's all toxic. So I said, fine, you go find a place, and I'll buy it. And he did. And it wasn't on the ocean, because I said, well, what exactly would you do if you suddenly saw that there was a hurricane coming? Where are you going to go? If you're on the ocean, you can't go anywhere. So I said, no, I don't want to be on the ocean. You know, back where I can do gardening. And that's one of my biggest hobbies. landscape architecture. I love going home and putting my McCall, my Blue and Gold McCall sweetie, on my shoulder, going out and doing gardening, planting trees. I planted about 5,000 palm trees and flowering shrubs. There's about 10,000 flowering shrubs. You know, people can see photographs of my home, the gardens up on, and none of that exists when I bought it. None of it. When I bought it, there were only two trees on the property right in front, and the rest was all sand because there were horses kept there before I picked it up. And when you got horses and you don't have dirt, you have sand and sand fleas. I remember talking with the owners, and I counted 17 sand fleas on my legs. And I said, doesn't this bother you? We're inside already. They said, no, we get used to it. And I'm looking at their legs. They're like red welts all up and down their legs. I'm glad you get used to it. I'm not getting used to this. And, of course, now there's no ticks or fleas because they use diatomaceous earth. If you take diatomaceous earth and you spread it around your property, just with a spreader, and a lot of people use it to filter their, and use organic diatomaceous earth, so it's not bad for animals. What it does, it will, it's like a fine powder. It goes on the grass, spiders, anything in that, ticks, walk across it, lacerates their skin, they dehydrate and die. So very, very good to keep the insects out of your property. Anyhow, when I went to buy it, I had a dream to build a village where people could go to and learn all the integrated therapies of anti-aging, and much like what now the Homestead Village is like. But this is 20 years ago, Luann. And I had done that down in Texas, but I wanted something that was more tropical. And this was more tropical. So anyhow, I was told, yes, you could get a zoning variance. And I'd had problems upstate New York. The reason I sold my place after 15 years up in Stone Ridge is because no matter how many times I applied to the county for a variance so I could build a holistic retreat, they denied it. Even though I was on Buck Road, the furthest end of the county, 50 acres, totally isolated, it didn't matter, these bureaucrats. So I finally just said, fine, I sold it, and that's when I bought the place in Texas. But in any case, I went ahead and bought all the existing land around it, and then some friends bought the remaining land because they wanted a place to retire to. One of them you know. And then I built the compound. The compound is gated. It's an 8-foot gate because you have to have an 8-foot high fence if you're going to have livestock. And I had camels and llamas and zebras, all kinds of wonderful animals, because I also take in rescue animals. And I've probably taken in all told, I'm going to guess, around 4,000 animals, and got them back to help them found them homes or let them go in the wild. In any case, the back part is on 23rd Street. That's where I was going to put a 20-acre retreat. I had drawings all done. And every time I go to a meeting, they'd say, no, we're not allowing it now, but, you know, in a year. So finally, last year, I just said enough. They're not going to do it. And so I don't need that land. So that land I am going to be selling. In fact, that's not a problem because it's not, it's, though it's contiguous to, and I developed it, put all these palm trees and everything. It's not a part of my compound. It's not a part of my quarter mile running track or my orchard or my organic garden or everything. It's inside the 10 acres where the villa, guest house, barn, stables, and all, everything else is, tennis court, swimming pool. But it's magnificent. That I am definitely consider selling because I can't accept that at any time in the future I'm going to be able to build anything there as far as a resort. They're not going to give me a commercial zoning to do it. So when I bought the other place where the retreat is, where we're putting now, we're opening in, what, 2 months, 2.5 months, the Veterans Village, Artisans Village, the Anti-Aging Village, the Homestead, the Hydroponic Gardens, the Cooking School, all that's opening in just 2.5 months, then the other property was not needed. So that's the reality of it. Not not my home, not the property where my house is. Okay? Luann?
Yep, sounds good.
Did you go to sleep there? You went to sleep.
I
listen
did not.
To talk.
I
yes,
did
you did.
Not. I am sitting right here at attention.
Yeah, sure you are. Yeah. We're going to get a picture of you sleeping and drooling. That's what we're going to post it.
No, very rare that I drool these days.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for the call. If anyone has calls or questions, let them call you, not me. Give them your number.
Yeah, if you're interested, call me. I'm at 631-504-6198. Again, 631-504-6198.
Good. Have a nice day.
Okay.
Let's say hello to Ann from New Jersey. Hi, Ann. Your turn.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I wanted to find out, I read Dr. Mercola says that vegans don't have sulfur in their diet.
Do you have a computer, correct?
Not really, no.
Okay. Can you get to a computer?
Yes.
All right. I'd like for you to go up and Google sulfur-containing foods. And you'll see onions, you'll see garlic, loaded with sulfur. The cruciferous vegetables also have sulfur. And in fact, in all the mineral analysis of a person's choosing to eat a healthy vegan diet, mind you, you could be a vegan and eat buns, donuts, you know, vegan pizza does make you healthy. But if you're actively seeking to be healthy with a vegan diet, the literature is overwhelming that the food sources supply a full range of all the minerals, including sulfur.
Oh, good.
And okay. If you want to look at some of the oldest living species of vegans in the world, how about the oldest living creature in the world? Is the Galapagos turtle vegan? How about an elephant that can live up to 100 years? Vegan. How about a rhinoceros and hippopotamus? Strong. Now, all those animals are very strong. And mainly a gorilla will eat vegan, but sometimes they also will eat other monkeys if they can catch them. But by and large, they're vegan. So you see some of the longest-lived, strongest creatures in the world are vegan, and some of the shortest-lived animals are cats. In the wild, lions, cheetahs, leopards, tigers generally live anywhere from 8 to 14 years. In captivity, you can almost double that because you're controlling the quality of their food and their water and protecting them against natural predators, because once a lion is no longer king of the pride, they die quickly thereafter because they're not fast enough to hunt and kill for themselves, and other animals will go after them, including hyenas, and kill them and eat them. Hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right. All the best to you.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm Gary Nall. I'll take a few more calls. Our number is 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. Now, I promised earlier I'd give some more information. I just gave you the information on the omega-7 fatty acid and why it's important. I want to share some information now about SAMe. This is a methionine, and it's the S-adenyl form, and it's found in virtually every tissue and fluid in the body. And it's required in a myriad of biochemical reactions. And since SAMe occurs in virtually all living cells, scientists believe it's long-assisted cells in defending against destructive influences. And one of the most important processes SAMe is involved in is methylation. Now, you've heard me mention methylation many times in this program, in which it acts as a methyl donor to support a multitude of chemical reactions. Now, vital biochemical processes in the body rely on methylation. These include the synthesis of nucleic acid, like RNA and DNA, and proteins and phospholipids and neurotransmitters. And SAMe and the methylation reactions it promotes help regenerate gene expression and lipid and mineral metabolism and membrane structure and fluidity. It does all these great things. SAMe contributes to the production and recycling of our body's signaling molecules, such as hormones and neurotransmitters, including serotonin and dopamine and noradrenaline. and your body's ability to appropriately methylate may decline with age, leading to increased risk of many chronic age-related diseases, including cancer, neurodegenerative disease, and autoimmune diseases. Well, SAMe's critical methylation effect can block disease and slow certain aging processes. In addition, SAMe is necessary for the synthesis of glutathione, and we all know that glutathione, which means it plays an important role in protecting the body from free radical-induced aging. And glutathione is crucial for liver function, and the liver is the organ most responsible for purifying toxins in the body. And SAMe plays an important role in exchanging the destructive capacity of free radicals to attack the cell with antioxidant protective effects of standing guard for the cell. And lastly, SAMe is required for synthesizing a group of compounds known as polyamines. And these polyamines are critical for effective regulation of normal cell growth, and evidence suggests they play a role in programming cell death, or what is called apoptosis. And polyamines facilitate DNA repair and gene expression and neuron regeneration and protein phosphorylation. So all good. So make sure you're getting SAMe. It also blocks many aging processes, including it can help prevent Alzheimer's and dementia. It can help prevent Parkinson's and fibromyalgia. And it also helps prevent osteoporosis and inflammatory bowel disease and insomnia. So that's our nutrient of the day. It is SAMe. Let's say hello to Vance from New Jersey. Hi, Vance. Your turn.
Mr. Noel, how are you, sir?
Doing good. Thank you.
I wanted to briefly share something with you. I stumbled on by accident in a law library. I hear you often talk about how the Citizens United court case needs to be reversed, the Supreme Court declaring money as speech and corporations as persons, right?
Yes.
Well, while I was looking up a traffic situation, a traffic violation and the legal citations and such, I stumbled across something I thought you would be very interested in. It actually shocked me. It's volume 16 from the United States Statutes at Large. And this is chapters 61 and 62. And just quickly, briefly, it says, an act to provide a government for the District of Columbia. Now, I heard this before, that the District of Columbia has its own separate government outside of the national government of the United States, but I'd never in my life before seen anything in writing saying that the representatives of Congress convened, the Senate actually, convened a hearing to establish another government for the District of Columbia. I'm astounded by that. I mean, it's only, I don't know, maybe 16, 17 pages here for this particular statute. And this is from, again, United States Statutes at Large,
okay,
Volume 16.
But Vance, we're running out of time and we got a lot of calls. What point do you want to make?
The point that I wanted to make is that the designation of the inhabitants of Washington being lumped together and called the corporation dates back to February 21, 1871, when the Senate and the Congress decided to turn all cities, including Washington, into little mini corporations. And so this, it gives to me the concrete proof that every city in America is in fact a corporation, including the seat of where our national government is. So these businesses refer to us as corporate persons and not natural persons, and that's why we get...
Okay, but keep this in mind, Vance, that all cities are incorporated, all right? But that does not mean that they are outside of the laws of the state that which they were incorporated or outside the jurisdiction of the federal government or the federal government's laws and what they're allowed or not allowed to do. And federal law trumps state law in most cases. And unless you want to change the rules, we're looking at reversing Citizens United so that corporations would be held accountable as an individual would, whereas now the corporation is protected from the crimes it commits. It pays fines and penalties, but no one generally goes to jail. And its stockholders not held accountable. Its officers not held accountable. Unless the officer personally does something within a corporation, that then, like insider trading from a corporation, it doesn't mean that the corporation in and of itself engaged in insider trading, unless that is shown. In which case, then, both the corporation is fined or in some way found guilty, and so is the individual. So what we want to do is we want to get rid of the money in politics. That's our goal. We want to get rid of the idea that we do not have one vote for one person. Right now, if a corporation could be considered a person, and therefore you have these mammothly wealthy people within the 1% of the 1%, that's how wealthy they are. There's only about 1,600 of them that are that wealthy, billionaires. And if they want to get someone elected with all the money they have, they can put that money behind a candidate and get them elected. Therefore, that one person and their wealth has more power to influence the outcome of an election than, let's say, 10,000 other people who don't have the money and may not know how to impact an election except for voting for people. More often than not, we vote for what we see on television. We only see two parties on television. We see the Democrat and corporate Democrats and the corporate Republicans representing one group of power people behind the scenes who really are, it's immaterial, whether it's the Koch brothers or anyone else, what their politics are, what their religion is. These people, in my opinion, are interested in power. And they have that power in no small measure because of Citizens United. So I want to see all elections run where there is no money allowed in the election cycle at all, where you are elected to an office, all offices, based upon a lottery. If you feel that you're qualified and you want to run for an office, whether it's governor, mayor, or president of the United States, or senator, congressman, what you do is you fill out an application that lists all your qualifications, what your platforms are, what you're for and against, and then those are then put into a lottery, and we have a chance to vote on the lottery after reviewing who is running for which office and what we like or don't like. And then through a series of debates and public dialogues, we can see the strength and weakness of a person in their positions, in their personality, in their sense of character. We get a full and a full background check on the people who make it through the first round, so we can see, is there anything in this person's background that we missed? What are their affiliations? Who they have been aligned with? What are the things they've done that, you know, have they done something criminal? Have they done something, you know, that they're really shills representing someone? And then all that gets shown, and then you can decide we don't want these people. And then you finally get down to where you have a group that debates each other in a series of debates until you get down to the final people. And then from that you select. You give them one term. I don't believe any office in the United States should have a term longer than 3 years. Give them one term, 3 years, and they're out of politics forever. You get one chance at it. And if you ban all lobbying, if you make it a federal offense to lobby anyone in power, no matter what your group is, then the person must rely upon serving all the constituents, not just those that were favored by the money they gave. That's the purpose of Citizens United. Now, that has nothing to do with the District of Columbia and its charter. It has nothing to do with the city and its charter. That's a separate issue altogether. I believe all charters should have the capacity to be revoked. I believe all the people within a corporation that have overseen the commitment of a crime, premeditated crime, should be held personally liable, and that you take away the firewall between the corporation and the person's deeds. So if they did a dirty deed, they're no longer able to say, well, a corporation like Goldman Sachs will pay, you know, X dollars and we walk free. No, they should be held accountable. You and I are held accountable for our personal actions. Everyone behind a corporation should also be held accountable if their actions are shown to have been premeditated. They should not be given any protection. And all charters for all corporations should be able to be reviewed and challenged by citizens where their hearings, evidence is brought, and impartial groups are then able to evaluate whether or not they should continue. Hope that answers your question. We're out of time. Thank you all for listening. I look forward to sharing more on our next program. Have a nice day.